Father, we thank you for your presence. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for you feed us. We thank you, Father, for you give us of your drink from the river of the living water. We thank you, precious Father. We glorify your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. You're welcome. Say hi to your neighbor. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. God is good. Thank you, Damba, for leading us in the presence of the Lord. Today we continue our lessons from Rick Joyner's book, The Final Quest. We are using the 2010 edition, and the copyright page is page 1. Last week, we talked about humility and pride. Okay? Humility and pride. The key things we learned last week one is, if we are not humble, we cannot really see as God would want us. All right? The second thing was, pride guarantees defeat and failure. Why? Because pride comes before destruction. Okay? So anytime pride enters in the picture, you just know that defeat and failure are just, lurking. They are coming soon. The third point we noted is that having no interest in the word of God is sure evidence of pride. All right? Anytime you lose interest in the word of God, specifically in reading the Bible, you have just entered pride. All right? Because the Bible is God's word. The Bible is God speaking to us. So if you're not interested in the Bible, or in God who's speaking to you, it means you're now trusting in yourself, which is basically pride. All right? Then the fourth thing was, no one is beyond falling. And falling can be avoided by putting trust in nothing else but God alone. Okay? And lastly, we learned that humility is the highest rank in the kingdom of God. And therefore, we should all go for it. All right? Humility is the highest rank in the kingdom of God. All right? That is the only thing. Nothing else. If you're the richest, you're not the greatest in the kingdom of God. If you're the most famous, if you're the most anything, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're the greatest in the kingdom of God. Humility is the highest rank in the kingdom of God, and we should all go for it, because that is God's desire. Hallelujah. That was last week. Today, we are going to talk about discerning the Lord's body. All right? Discerning the Lord's body. Our theme scripture is, we have two theme scriptures which basically summarize all that we are going to talk about today. All right? All that we're going to talk about today is going to be found in those two scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. The topic, once again, is discerning the Lord's body. The first theme scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, which says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." All right? "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Okay? The second theme scripture is in chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29 and 30. "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Or many have fallen, dead. They are dead. Okay? So basically what those two scriptures are saying is that you are a member of the body of Christ. Alright? You are a member of the body of Christ. Okay? And your fellow Christians are members of that body. Yeah? They are also members of that body. Okay? And if we don't understand that truth, that you are a member of the body and other Christians are also part of that body, if you don't discern that, if you don't understand that, and also understand its application, okay, it might cause you trouble. Alright? It might cause you trouble. Okay? For 1 Corinthians 11 verse 30 says that for this reason, many are weak and sick and others are dead. Yeah? Or they are sleeping. So that means if we don't discern and understand that we are one body and all Christians are part of that body, it might cause us to be weak in some areas of our lives. Alright? Or, worse still, some areas in our lives might really get sick, if I should say. Like they get from worse, from weak to sick, and then the worst case scenario is death. Eh? Alright? Some areas of our lives can die, eh? You understand? And even ourselves, our bodies also can be affected. Eh? Because this scripture primarily is talking about physical bodies. Alright? You can get weak, you can get sick, and you can even die. Okay? And relating that to other areas of our lives, those areas can get weak, they can get sick, and they can die. Alright? That essentially is what we're going to talk about today. Glory be to God. Discerning the Lord's body. Let's open the final quest. Pages 29. Eh? From page 20, we're going to read page 29 and 30. And if you notice, we are now on part 3 of the book. Glory be to God. So we have made some good progress, isn't it? We did part one and part two. Eh? Amen. That's awesome. Eh? Okay. Page 29. Rick Joyner says that on the horizon, I saw a great white cloud approaching. Hope rose in me just from seeing it. Soon, it had filled the whole atmosphere with hope, just as the rising sun chases away the darkness of night. As it grew closer, I recognized the great white eagles that had flown from the tree of life. They began landing on the mountain, taking their places on every side, on every level, beside the companies of warriors. I carefully approached the eagle that had landed near me because his presence was so awesome. When he looked at me with his penetrating eyes, I knew I could hide nothing from him. His eyes were so fierce and resolute that I trembled. Chills ran through me just looking at him. Before I could even ask, he answered me. "You want to know who we are? We are the hidden prophets who have been kept for this hour. We are the eyes of those who have been given the divinely powerful weapons. We have been shown all that the Lord is doing and all that the enemy is planning against you. We have scoured the earth, and together we know all that needs to be known for the battle." All right? The background to this, you remember, Rick Joyner has just witnessed the army of the Lord suffering a major defeat. All right? Why? Because though they had put on the armor of God, okay, but they had advanced in pride, okay? They had advanced in pride, and so the enemy hit them from the rear, all right? Okay, so he has just witnessed that, all right? So, Rick Joyner asks this ego, who now we know, this ego is a prophet. Rick Joyner asked him, "Did you not see the battle that just took place?" I asked with as much irritation as I dare to express. Couldn't you have helped those warriors who were just taken captive?" "Yes," the ego responded. "We saw it all, and we could have helped if they had wanted our help. We would have helped them by holding them back, telling them to sit and be still. But we can only fight in the battles that the Father commands. And we can only help those who believe in us. Only those who receive us as prophets can receive the prophet's reward or the benefit of our services." Glory be to God. Let us pause there a bit. Okay? Here, like we said, the soldiers in God's army have just suffered a defeat. Okay? They have been taken or captive. All right? And this ego or this prophet is saying that we saw it all and we could have helped if they had wanted our help. All right? If they had wanted what? Our help. "We would have helped them by holding them back, telling them to sit and be still. But we can only fight in the battles that the Father commands, and we can only help those who believe in us." Okay? "Only those who receive us as prophets can receive the prophet's reward or the benefit of our services." What we learn from that is that as members or the body of Christ, eh? We all have our roles to play, okay? But we should only do what the Father commands. Hallelujah. Someone once said, and there's a great truth to it, that a need is not a call. Alright? A need is not a what? Is not a call. Just because there is a need for something to be done does not necessarily mean that you're called to do it. Okay? Your assignment is what the Father tells you to do, not what you see should be done. Glory be to God. A need is not a what? It's not a call. Eh? These angels say, this prophet said that we can only fight in the battles that the Father commands. Glory be to God. All right? Now, anything you do in the kingdom, all right, whichever assignment you accomplish in the kingdom of God, you are basically participating in a battle. Glory be to God. Okay? Now, this ego said, or the prophet said, we only fight in the battles that the Father commands. Okay? As members of the body of Christ, we should know, okay, which parts of the body we are. Alright? Which part of the body we are. Every part of the body has an assignment. It has a function it plays. Okay? So, you should be careful not to get involved in things which the Lord hasn't commanded you to get involved in. Okay? However good they are, however good they are, okay? Always inquire of the Lord. Okay? Especially those big things. Okay? You remember, last week we learned that we should always inquire of the Lord before making major decisions. All right? Okay? We're talking about discerning the Lord's body. You are part of the body. Okay? If you are an arm, your role is to play the function of the arm. Okay? Don't try to be a head, you know. Don't try to be a nose. Glory be to God. You'll be hammered. Hallelujah. Okay? Then, this ego, the prophet also said that we can only help those who believe in us. Okay? Bridget, we're on page. I think that is page 29, is it? 29, eh? Yeah. Okay? So, the ego says that we can only help those who believe in us. Okay? Now, as a member of the body of Christ, we need each other. You all know this. What we are talking about today is basic, but it is also foundational. Okay? Okay, we have to have this at the forefront of our minds every day. Okay? As long as we are in the kingdom of God. Okay? As different members of the body of Christ, we need each other. Hallelujah. We need each other. Okay? If we don't realize that we need each other, okay, then we're not going to receive the help that we're supposed to receive. Alright? And this is exactly what happened to the soldiers in God's army who were taken captive here in the final quest. Okay? The ego all the prophets said, we can only help those who believe in us. If you don't believe in someone who has been brought to help you or to compliment you in your assignment, then you're going to suffer defeat. You won't be as effective as you should be. You won't be as useful as you should be in the body of Christ, of which you are a member. Okay? So these guys, these Christians, okay, if they had only been humble enough to recognize that there's another part of the body that can help them, they wouldn't have suffered defeat like they did. All right? So the lesson for us is, let us appreciate one another. Let us appreciate how differently we are gifted, okay? And in that way, we can be able to function as we should with the help that we receive from the other part of the body of Christ. Glory be to God. This applies in all areas of life. You know, in a family, okay, families, for those who are married, and those who are going to get married, like Flora, okay, you have to recognize this, okay? Every, the husband is gifted differently, and the husband is gifted differently, okay? And each of those two parties has to discern, okay, those differences, and they should understand that those differences are there to help them and to complement them. If they don't discern that difference, okay, then they're going to be hit by the enemy. They're going to lose a battle in the same way that these Christians, okay, were taken captive by the enemy, yet there were these eagles, prophets, who were there to help them, if they could only acknowledge that they needed help from them. Okay? But these eagles, the prophets, couldn't help. Why? Because they said, we can only help those who believe in us. Glory be to God. Okay? Okay? You can be in a situation which God has, as usual, seen in advance. Okay? And he knows that as a wife, you know, the only way you're going to survive that thing is by you receiving the help of your husband. Okay? And the husband is there to help you. Should you acknowledge, you know, should you humble yourself and say, I need help? Then for you say, no, we are all equal. Actually, I know more scriptures than him. All right? Then you proceed in presumption, okay, which is basically pride, and you get hammered by pride. And before you know it, okay, you've been taken a captive, But you're like, but God, how did I get into this? But God is a cloak. I sent you the help. The help was there, but you did not receive it. Okay? This ego says that we only help those who believe in us. Glory be to God. Amen? And if that thing is so disastrous, let's say in a marriage situation, if it is so bad, of course, it is not good to say these things, but I'm going to say it. If this attack is so severe, okay, and maybe the wife gets hit or the husband, you know, gets hit and it is so bad that even it causes death, okay, then you die and the spouse which has remained around moves on, okay? And they what? And they marry other people. You understand? And but you would have been the problem. Eh? You are operating in pride. Glory be to God. Amen. Remember, the theme scripture said, you know, not discerning the Lord's body. Not discerning the Lord's body. You know, 1 Corinthians 11:29 and 30. It says that, that is why many are weak, okay, and some are sick, and some sleep. They're dead. Glory be to God. So again, scripture, you know, a couple, one of them can die if they don't discern the Lord's body. Isn't it? Am I wrong or I just say I'm speaking my own things? One of them can die, man. You know, Of course, we don't want to, one of them can be weak, and the weakness is just because of that. But it can get worse. You know, someone can get sick. When that sickness, you know, the sickness is primarily because they didn't discern the Lord's body. The Lord's body, as far as their marriage is concerned, help was in the wife. The husband didn't discern that. All right? Help was in the husband. The wife didn't discern that. Okay? And, you know, it caused, you know, that one upati to be attacked by the enemy and hit, and they fell sick. Natural sickness. I mean, God is like, let me tell you where you trace it, and you say it is here. Worst case scenario, someone can even die. And we pray it doesn't happen. Okay? In other areas of life, you know, let's say like we're a church, and, you know, of course, different members are gifted differently, you know, playing different functions. And if a church fails to discern the unique gifts in the people and to give them the opportunity to use them to bless the body, a church will get weak, all right? Okay, and it can get worse, you know, the church can get sick, you know, and the worst case scenario is the church can sleep, the church can die. Glory be to God. It can die and even gets off the scene. And you just know, man, there used to be a church called, you know, when it's off the scene, okay? But sometimes it remains on the scene. But when it is dead, you remember the church of Sardis, in Revelations? Jesus said that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Okay? So this thing, this principle applies in all areas of life. It applies in business. If you don't discern the Lord's body, if you don't discern the giftings that are in the different the partners that you have, it will cause your business to be weak. Your business won't prosper as it should. It will cause your business to be sick. Sick means that now you're no longer even making a profit. And the worst thing is, it will cause your business to die, to sleep. Gets off the scene, man. Why? Because you have failed to discern the Lord's body. You have failed to discern that we are different members of the body, and each member has his or her role or her function. Each member has different strengths. Which are supposed to complement your weakness. Hallelujah. Discerning the Lord's body. Amen. Discerning what? The Lord's body. Okay? I don't know when or what. I will, when Damba and Juliana will listen to me when I tell them that on Sunday, that last song should be done, because that last song should come, you understand? It should be done by someone who really is loud enough, and you understand? Okay? I don't know when what you will listen to me. Glory be to God. Okay? Because when you do that, you're discerning the Lord's body. Eh? Okay? If you don't discern the Lord's body in worship, you know, the different strengths, eh? The different strengths, you understand? Eh? Then our worship will be weak. It won't be dead, but it will be weak. Okay? However, and if you continue that way, it will get sick. Alright? And we pray it doesn't happen, but it can even die. Ngamuyimba buyimbi, just what nenga, ekintuchafada. Alright? Discerning the Lord's body. Okay? For those of you who have just come in, our theme scriptures are 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29 and 30. 1 Corinthians 11, 29 and 30. 29 says, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Okay? And the other theme scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, which says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Holy Communion, when it says that eating in an unworthy manner, okay, the religious churches have put so many nonsense to it. Those things of if you're divorced, you shouldn't eat Holy Communion. If you're what, you cannot eat. But there's no way it says that in the Bible. Unworthy manner is just failing to recognize the body of Christ. You understand? Where you're into just divisions. You understand? Okay, where you don't understand that your neighbor, your fellow Christian is part of the body. So in that sense, you are eating unworthily. You haven't discerned the Lord's body. The Lord's body, which is made up of many members. Are you listening to me? Glory be to God. Amen. I was going to talk about what? I was going to get tempted to talk about a divorce. But that will be for another day, amen? Because when I talk about it, some people will stone me. Hallelujah. So, the ego, the prophet said, okay, page 29. The prophet said, "We can only help those who believe in us. So let us receive help from the different member or members of the body who have the help that we need. If we don't do that, okay, we are endangering ourselves." Okay, this is why the Christians, you know, like we saw last week, this is why they were taken captive by the enemy. They were hit by pride. Okay, why? And the ego here says, we would have helped them. But we only help those who believe in us. Okay? The help you need, usually the help that you need is not far from you. If only you could humble yourself and receive the help that is there. Glory be to God. Husbands, sometimes the help is just near there. Mark. The hope is with Rachel. Eh? It is not with pastor. It is not with which prophet. Eh? It is there in your house. Eh? Rachel. The hope is just there. Okay? The hope is a call away. Just call the university and talk to your husband. Glory be to God. Amen? If you don't do that, you're going to be hammered. Number two, the ego, who now we know is a prophet, said, we only fight in the battles that the Father commands. All right? They only do the will of the Father. Okay? And now you, as a member of the body of Christ, you should also get to know what role you're supposed to play. What God has commanded you, what has commanded you to play in the body of Christ. And do it well. Like the ego, they say, we only do what, we only fight battles which the Father commands. Okay? And like we say, that means a need is not a call. Okay? I learned that many years ago from Robert Lyadon. Just because there's a need for something does not mean you're called to do it. Hallelujah. And this is by the one of the reasons why some Christians fall broke. You know what I mean? Just because there's a need, a ministry has a financial need, does not necessarily mean that you're the one who's called to solve it. Okay? The money that you have, God could be saying, no, for you, that is for your hair. You understand? It is for your hair. Go to the salon and what? It's called what? Treating your hair. Treating, That's what, Treating your hair. Do retouch. Do you know retouch? Then for you, they are thinking that what? A ministry's need is, you understand? And you give away what? Retouch money. Okay, before you know it, man, you're broke, you don't have money to do your hair. Okay, and if you're single, then it is at that moment your husband to be comes around and man, he finds you looking ugly, man. You gave away what? The money that was supposed to make you look nice. Are you listening to me? Because you don't realize that a need is not a call. It's not necessarily a call. Are you listening to me? Amen? Married men, Mark. A need is not necessary. Just because someone has a need, that it does not necessarily mean you're the one who was called to solve it. Okay? Amen? Because you give away the money, then, you know, you get in some trouble in a marriage and what? Just because you give away the money, you thought that your God, your call to solve all needs, all the needs of the universe. Hallelujah. Amen. Find out, like these egos, find out whether it is your assignment to solve that need. If it's not, then it means it is someone else's assignment and just go and sleep. Glory be to God. Amen. And that also means that if you ask someone for help and they didn't give you that help, don't get angry at them. Probably they are not the ones who are supposed to help in that thing. So don't say that these Christians are not Christians. They're hypocrites. They don't help. Okay? There is a woman who has disturbed me for many years. I told the woman, I will never help you, never call me again. You know, she began disturbing me way back, open house. She had me preaching about giving and receiving, you know. Then she came, you know. I thought she was a sensible woman. So I decided, hey, this is my number, call me, we meet. And so we met one time, you know, somewhere. I told her, you want to talk to me, what? Then, I know, maybe she has a mental problem. I don't know, she has devils. I meet her, then she starts what? I ask her, so, why, you know, we start. I say, so, Then, but maybe she has something wrong with her hair. She started playing with her eyes, you know. Okay. Then I was like, now, here, I've met another idiot. I said, let me watch this movie. And then later she tells me why why I get her a job. I told her, well, I don't know where jobs are. You just pray to God, you know. Then, so we parted. Then I went, because I was with Elvis at that time, so I go back and I was like, man, I've just met a woman who's playing with her eyes on me. You know, yeah? Anyway, now the woman began to call me, telling me that now, and she needs help, you know, that she needed help. And he told me, can you please give me 1 million shillings? I was like, how do you ask someone you don't know, start asking 1 million shillings? So I told her, well, I don't have the money. Okay? Then she called me again. Then I realized this woman. So I told her, please never call me again. I'll never give you money. You know, never call me again. Okay? Then but the woman, she called me again. I told her, I told you never call me again. Then I even just to show her that I'm angry. To try and scare her, but I read this woman, I think she has a mental problem. Then one time she calls me again. Saying, yes, what I did, I blocked her number. Okay? I blocked her number, so she'll try and just see it. Then, that time around that time, I stopped going for Zoe. This now years ago, like 3 years ago. Eh? Okay? And that time, the church had begun here, you know? So, now one day, man, I think it was Sunday, I am preaching, man, then I see the full man. You there preaching in the spirit, then, just know now. The woman, I think she went to La Bonita, Zoe, asked, man, where is this pastor used to be, you know, And then someone said, if you want to meet him, go to Ntinda on Sunday. Soon as she comes, I told her, I won't give you money. I told you a year ago, I'll not give you money. You know, then the man bugged me. Then, so I would, after a service on Thursday, I finished to preach and people are coming and they're saying hi. When I would see her come, I would just get up and I walk away. Pastor, man. What kind of pastor are you? You know, because I told her, So, then for some time, she disappeared. So a man, I was like, wow, wonderful. Then after I see man, she came back again. And when she comes back again. I told you 3 years ago, you understand? Okay? Then some time ago, she disappeared. Last year, she disappeared for a long time, like 8 months or a year. Then I saw her, I think, in the last month, man. She came back to church. So 2 weeks ago on a Sunday, I finished to preach. I'm saying hi to people. Then I see her sitting there. You can see she was waiting for her what? For her turn. Don't you think that woman has a problem? What's her case? Maybe she has a mental, Anyway, I'm not the one who's going to solve whatever problem she has. I'm not what? Because, like we're saying, a need is not a what? A call. One of you should take up that need. I told her you talk to other people, They just mean who? No, really, Okay. One time she went to with Joseph. When she told him, Pastor has a problem. You know, he sent to your brother. About what? Now reporting you to your brother has a problem. I want to talk to him, but he doesn't know. Anyway, a need is not a call. Hallelujah. That woman, I told her she will never get even 10,000 shillings from me. Okay, I'm not the one who's called to help her financial issues. Okay, maybe it is honesty's role. Anyway, but she's not supposed to be in LAT. That's what I know. That's why I told Flora. Rachel not to get her off the church list. Because now, like this entire thing we have, just imagine now someone is assigned a person like that. You are finished. You understand? You're finished. You'll be on your case now. 1 million shilling now. Why, you know? So I was like, now this one, no. Off. I think she doesn't even know that she's off. So that means that I don't think she even reads emails and why, you know. Because if she realized I'm not receiving church stuff, she would come and say, what's up? Okay? So we're different members of the body. Each body has a role it's supposed to play. And each member of the body must acknowledge that they need help from the other members of the body. If they don't do that, they are going to be ineffective, okay? And the worst bit is they are going to be hit by the enemy, just like these guys, the soldiers in God's army, who were taken captive. Rick Joyner saw them advancing in pride, and they were hit by the enemy. Now, on page 29, this ego, an ego who says that he's a prophet, he says that we could have helped them. Okay, but they say we only help those who believe in us. Hallelujah. We only help those who believe in us. Amen. May you not be the one who doesn't believe, you know, in a person who is carrying the help that you need. And then you just pass eyes through them. Are you listening to me? Okay? 1 Corinthians 11, 29 and 30 says, you know, because some people did not discern the Lord's body, they didn't discern that they're different members of the body. Okay? They didn't acknowledge that. He says that's why many, you know, some were sick. Okay? Some were weak. You know, many were sick and others had slept. They had died. Okay? A marriage can get weak. A marriage can get sick. Okay? And a marriage can die. If the different members of the body of Christ in that marriage don't discern, the different strengths, the giftings in the other member. Okay? Because it is in that member, you know, that God has put the help that you need. Glory be to God. Amen? A church, a worship team can get weak. Okay? If the team doesn't acknowledge the different gifts, what everyone should do at a different what? Point. I give them advice, but they don't follow it. Julian and Damba. Okay? That last song, don't mess with it. The last song on Sunday, don't mess with it. You know, it can do or undo a service. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen? A business can get weak. Okay? It doesn't make as much profit as it should. Why? Because the partners are not discerning the different gifts, you know, the members have. They're not discerning the body. Glory be to God. Okay? It can get sick when it is no longer now, it is not making profit. Okay? And it's in debt. Sick. Okay. You're not getting the help that you need. You think you can do everything. Okay. All right. And the worst case scenario is that it can slip, can die. A business. And this business was started by God. It was started by God. But because there's no discernment of the body, or the different strengths of the members, you understand the thing? But it was from heaven. And then it dies, And people say, you see, it wasn't of God. No. It was of God. But God expected you not to, to be wise, to discern the what each member is gifted at, what they can do. Because they are part of that what? The body, and each member of the body has a function, a role. So they didn't discern that. And this business that was from heaven, it dies. Glory be to God. It dies. A marriage dies. And then you see, because you see, so that means they were not meant for each other. No. They were meant for each other, but they all just decided to start operating in pride. Glory be to God. I also have my money. I don't need you. I don't need you. I mean, I can feed myself. I can dress myself. I have my health insurance. What are you there for? You're useless. And sometimes people say those things, but they don't really mean them. It's just, Okay? Then you see, they don't realize that you need help. Okay, you have health insurance, you have what? NSSF pension. Because even my future is taken care of, that pension. Okay? But you see, life is not all about money. Okay? Life is not about pension. About what? Health insurance. Okay? God knows what we need. Okay? In a marriage, usually, some of those things that you need to help you are placed in the other, in your spouse. And you need to acknowledge those things. Okay? You need to discern the body. Okay? We are members. We are part of the body of Christ. We are members of that body. And each body has a role. Okay? Has a function. And that function, is to complement the other parts of the body. All right? If we do that, then the enemy will not be able to blindside us. Okay? We shall win. At every front. Glory be to God. Discerning the body. If we do that, in any area of our lives, we shall not get weak, we shall not get sick, and we shall not die, we shall not sleep. Our marriages won't get weak, our marriages won't get sick, our marriages won't die. Our businesses won't get weak, our businesses won't get sick, our businesses will not die. Okay? Our church, LAT, it won't get weak, it won't get sick, it won't die. And some things, by the way, like I said, they die, but when they're still around. You remember the Church of Sardis? Jesus said, you have a name that you are alive, but you're dead. But they were there. They had an address. If you want to meet them, go to this place and this place on Sunday. They meet there. But when God say, they are dead, they died. It's better, I don't know if it's better to die and you're still around or to die and you're off the scene. Which is better? And I don't know. Glory be to God. May that not be true of our church or your church, your business. Hallelujah. The ego, these prophets, would have helped those Christians if only the Christians had acknowledged that they needed them. That's what it says here. Regina is like, but why didn't you help them? Since you saw everything, you know everything. He said, well, we only help those who believe in us. Amen? And that help can come in a form that you despise. And then you miss it. Then you start saying, but God, I prayed, you didn't answer me. God, what are you? But God, he said, but I told you, I sent help. All right, let's go on. Luke chapter 12, chapter 13, verse 34. Just to emphasize, the point I've already made. Luke 13, verse 35 and 35, it says, this is Jesus weeping. He says, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as the hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, yourself, your house is left to you desolate." Okay? You remember in the Old Testament, God used to, the children of Israel didn't have kings. They had judges over them. So one day, they told Samuel, who was a judge at that point, at that time, they told him, "We want a king." All right, "We want a king." Then God, but God didn't want that at that time. Okay, it wasn't the time for a king. But he said, "For us, we want a king to be like other people." Okay, then God, Samuel talked to God about it, said, "These guys want a king." And the Bible says, in, you don't have to open there, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people in all that they said to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." When you reject the help God has sent you, when you don't discern, you know, the gift in a certain member of the body, you know, the gift that person has, okay, you have not rejected that person, you have rejected God. And because you have rejected God, you are in big trouble. You're going to be hit by the enemy. Okay? Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you know, how I wanted to gather you together, like a hen gathers her brood, but you're not willing." So he said, "Therefore, now your house is left to you with desolate." Okay? And a few years later, Jerusalem was hit, man. Okay? It was destroyed. And these guys had to flee to the nations. They didn't discern, you know, what God had sent them, the gift God had sent them. All right? We shouldn't be like that. Amen? Amen? Okay. Let's go back to the book, The Final Quest. We continue from where we stopped. The ego, the prophet, continued and said that those who were ambushed did not yet have the mantle you're wearing. You remember that mantle? Humility. Humility. Those who are ambushed did not yet have the mantle you're wearing. And those who do not have that mantle cannot understand who we are. We all need one another, including these here who are still wounded, and many others whom you do not yet know. As I talked to the ego, I started to think like him. After this short discussion, I could see into the ego's heart, and I began to know him like he knew me. The ego recognized this. "You have some of our gifts," the ego noted, "though they are not well developed. You have not used them much. I am here to awaken these gifts in you." Okay? Remember, we're talking about discerning the Lord's body. You're part of the body of Christ. Okay? You are a member of the body of Christ. You have gifts in you that should be awakened. You have gifts in you that you should discover and put them to use. Glory be to God. All of us here, we should be certain, okay, what God has called us to, what part of the body we are, what our role is. All right? What our role is, okay? You know, God placed a gift in you, okay? And your role is to discover it and put it to work for the glory of his kingdom. Okay? So this prophet, Ego, tells Joiner that I am here to awaken these gifts in you. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, Paul tells his spiritual son, Timothy, he tells him, I think it is 2 Timothy, he tells him, stir up the gift of God that is inside of you. Okay? Do what? Stir up the gift of God that is inside of you. Then say that, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. And you know, what was happening, you know, this guy, Timothy, knew the gift, but he was into fear more. You understand? He was backing out. Things were tight. Ministry was tight. Okay? Persecution, you know, hardships. And he was drawing back. And Paul said, no, stir up the gift of God that is inside of you. Hallelujah. Amen? Alan, do you know your calling? Do you know the gifts that you have? Every one of you, we need to discover these things and put them to work. Okay? Most people are in churches. Most people go to church on Sunday, fellowship. The number one reason or in there, whatever, is the problems which they have, and they're seeking help, and that's good. Okay? That is good. However, yeah, if that is the only thing on your head, your problems, and that's why you're in church, that is sad. It is selfish. It is selfish. You're not doing any good to the body of Christ. If the whole thing is about you, my problems, okay, my needs, I've come to church for help, my needs. Now, that's good. However, if you're in church 6 months, born again for 6 months, and all that is on your head is your needs, your problems, then, man, you're very selfish. You're very selfish. Okay? I'm just failing to say that you're very useless. Because every member of the body has a function. So if that part of the body is not doing its function, isn't it useless? No, you answer me. Yes or no? But I'm not talking about you. Okay, I'm just talking about that member of the body which is not doing its role. It is just my problem, my needs. You know, it's never asking itself, how can I help? What is my role here? My problems, yes, I've told them about the Lord, and yeah, they're still there. But in the meantime, I also want to be of use to the body of Christ. You see? But you understand? Okay? So, Judith, discover the gifts, put them to work. Okay? And maybe you have discovered some, but could it be that there are some which you haven't yet discovered? And God is just waiting on you, to discover them. I'm speaking to you, but I'm also speaking to myself. Glory be to God. Okay? I think there are some gifts Joseph knows I have, and he knows that I'm putting them to use. Joseph knows that I can see. Joan. In fact, Joseph sometimes sees me seeing. He sees even what I'm seeing. Then when I tell him that I haven't seen nothing, he says, but I saw you seeing. So you see, I'm putting my what? Gifts to work. Okay? Some people don't believe that. Okay? Yet it's God who messed up these things. After that dream, when I navigated some chick, some lady or then she had to say, man, remember that dream? As in, don't say more, And then, remember that, my auntie, she's 80 something, and then she's blind in real life, but then, she was seeing, you remember that dream? And then, a month or so later, I think around 31st January, maybe it was on 30th, some lady in church gets a dream when and then she meets a prophet, who she knows, And the prophet, and then she wants help, eh? So, and the prophet fails to take off. Zero, nothing. Eh? Okay. And then she comes to me, and then I did that thoroughly, eh? And she says what I told her was the thing she needed in her life. Eh? Eh? She says that I even told a dream which she had had. Eh? You know, eh? Now, eh? She told that dream to Joanne, and Joanne was like, "Now this dream has confirmed to me that Pastor, you see, how can the prophet fail to see? And then in the dream, God says you're the one who's seeing." Okay. So, but if I'm seeing, then you see, in the dream I was making use of my gift, isn't it? Okay. Okay, please, let us, we are members of the body, and each member has a what? Has a role, Okay, let's discover our gifts, Glory be to God. And when we put that, then we shall not be weak, we shall not be sick, and we shall not die, Okay? So, stir up the gift of God that is inside of you. So, the ego says, I am here to awaken these gifts in you and in many others like you. And I will teach you how to use them. In this way, our communication will be sure. Unless we have sure communication, we will all suffer many unnecessary losses, not to mention missing many great opportunities for victory. Where did you just come from? I asked. We eat snakes, the eagles replied. The enemy is bread for us. Our sustenance comes from doing the will of the Father. Our sustenance comes from doing the Father's will. Our sustenance does what? Comes from doing the Father's will. So, what happens if you're not doing the Father's will? Then you're not getting sustenance. So do you see how you end up weak? And if you're not eating, you end up sick. And you're not eating, you're sick, you're not eating, no treatment, you will die. Glory be to God. I've just seen that. I never seen it in this light. So, the earlier you discover the will of God for your life, the gifts that are inside of you, the strength which God has given you, the role you're supposed to play in the body of Christ, the role you're supposed to play in whichever partnership, God has placed you. Maybe it's a business, whatever it is, a marriage, anything, a church, a worship team, anything, okay? The earlier you discover it, and you start putting it to work, the better off you are. Because sustenance comes from doing the will of the Father. All right? John chapter 4, verse 31 to 34. It says, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat, of which you don't know. Therefore the disciples say to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That was Jesus' food. All right? And that is your food. To do the will of him who sent you. And not to just do it half-half. But to do it and to finish it. To do it well. To do it with your heart. Okay? And you won't get sick. You won't get weak. And you will not die. Hallelujah. But you all know it, that this thing, it can affect your, you know, lifespan. Eh? How many years? But you know that. We've talked about this. You know, I'm telling you, some people die, and it wasn't, but it was just they were out of the will of God, and the enemy got an opportunity to hit them. And you remember Kenneth Hagin? Kenneth Hagin was called, you read that book, it's there, in most of his books, he was called as a prophet and also as a teacher, but was doing more the teacher bit. And one time, he got an accident. So, he's going to hospital. And then, as he's going to hospital, Jesus appears to him on the street. He tells him that actually, it is not that bad that you, like you think. But then he says that, we shall talk more about this when you get to hospital. I'll come and we'll talk about it. These are wonderful experiences. But you see, those are wonderful experiences. But those wonderful experiences shouldn't be. It probably means that if Hagin was working the will of God, then Jesus didn't have to appear. Isn't it? Wow, just appeared. He was walking and just appeared. But look why Jesus appeared to him. The guy was off and then Jesus appeared. So, that means there sometimes these experiences that we have, that people have, that wow, Jesus appeared. But maybe for you, Jesus hasn't appeared to you because you're doing well. For the other one, Jesus has to appear to get them on course, isn't it? So sometimes these things are not, Of course, it's only in heaven, that we shall really know whether the one who got more experiences was more serious than the one we didn't have. Because when that one afuna nyokubanga needs too much help, that is serious. Anyway, but that is beside the point for today. But maybe it is part of the point. Yes. So anyway, Hagin, he's walking, just appears, say, we shall talk more about this when you get to hospital. So he gets to hospital, and the doctors confirm just what Jesus told him, that it's not that bad. But he's admitted. So he's on his bed, Then he looks, then sees someone in white coming. So at first he thought it was a nurse. Look closely, man, it was the Lord. I imagine man in hospital and Jesus man comes to check you out in hospital. Hospital visitor. And I think that's the title of that chapter. Hospital visitor? Anything like that. Wouldn't you want Jesus to what? To visit you in hospital. You want Jesus to visit you in hospital. But why should you get into hospital? You understand? Let him visit you for other things, But and Jesus told him that now, this is what happened. You are out of my will. And I've been warning you for a long time. And now because you're out of my will, you open the door for the enemy to hit you. And this is a beat, the hyper grace people don't like, The bit where Jesus said that I allowed it to happen so that I can get your attention. God is loving grace. He can't, I can't allow that to happen. No judgment. Now those are yours. See, I allowed it to happen so that I can get your attention. Then Obadiah says that, in fact, thank me for allowing this to happen. Because if it hadn't happened, I wouldn't have caught your attention, and the enemy was going to kill you. Remember? Many, some are weak, many are sick, and many sleep, die. At that time, Kenneth Hagin was 50-something. He was in his 50s. Kenneth Hagin lived to be, I think, 86 years. So Jesus tells him in hospital that, by the way, ate nebaza. Thank me, you are going to die. Thank me for allowing this accident which has messed up your arm to happen. So that means that the enemy was going to cut Hagin's life by over 30 years. 30 years. Why? Out of the will of God. Not discerning his part in the body of Christ. And was going to die. And you leave a widow there, man. You leave young kids. You know, a blossoming ministry. Rema, you know, he didn't say, but Mukama, yes, Mukama, he gives and he takes. And God in his day, no, I'm not the one who decided. This guy was out and I'd been warning him. That's why I appeared to him live. And then for you think it's great that I appeared to him live. No, the guy was disobedient and I needed him to do for me some work. Glory be to God. So, for some of you, I've never seen Jesus. Maybe you're doing great. Hallelujah. And when Jesus starts to appear to you, we shall know that now. Because now you're off. Okay? I'm joking. All right? But sometimes this is why some people have some experiences. Not because they are wonderful, they are great. But sometimes it's because they are off. Sometimes they are off. All right? So, the will of God, doing the will of God, is your sustenance. If you're not doing the will of God, if you're not discerning your role in the body, okay, you don't have sustenance, you don't have food. What will happen? You will get weak. And you continue in that state, you will get sick. And I pray you don't reach the final state dying. Hallelujah. Your business is not doing the will of God. You're just robbing people. Your business, you're supposed, it's supposed to play a role in the body, to be a blessing, maybe to your church, okay? Supposed to do business, bring money in the church, all right? So the pastor can have another Sunday shoe. Glory be to God. I hope you know that that is part of what your man is supposed to do. Bridget, you know that? But you know these things, Like I'm just trying to joke, But maybe I'm being led by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Because, anyway, you understand, So your business, you're supposed to be a blessing to the kingdom. However, kati olimutaka, it's like you have become a land, what? They call them what? The brokers. You're a broker, a speculator. Since the kingdom was kuzemwe taka, you're speculating. Because in 3 years' time, this land of 20 million will be 60. You just become a speculator instead of being a blessing in the kingdom. And now you wonder why your business is getting weak, why it is getting sick, and why URIA is coming to shut it down, to kill it completely. Are you listening to me? Amen? So, our sustenance comes from doing the will of the Father, which is to destroy the works of the devil. Every snake that we eat helps to increase our vision. Every stronghold of the enemy that we tear down strengthens us so we can soar higher and stay in the air longer. We have just come from a feast devouring the serpents of shame which have bound many of your brothers and sisters. They will be here soon. They are coming with the angels we left behind to help them find the way and to protect them from the enemy's counterattacks. These eagles were very sure of themselves, but not cocky. They knew who they were and what they were called to do. We are back to this point. You're not escaping it. These eagles were sure of themselves. Eh? But not what? Ukoki, eh? You understand? But they knew what they were supposed to do, eh? They knew who they were and what they were called to do. All right? Are you sure of yourself? You know, do you know who you are? And do you know what you're called to do? All right? Maybe you know some things that you're called to do, but do you know all of it? Of course, there's something which God reveals at specific times, appropriate times, but those which he was supposed to reveal a long time ago, have you discovered them? You should do that. We should all do that. Glory be to God. John chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said to Jesus, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king." All right? He's sure of himself, but not cocky. "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world." Jesus knew he was. He was sure of himself. He knew what he had come to do. Not to just be around. Glory be to God. Women, you're not there just to be what? Beautiful. There's a girl many years ago. She was my friend. She told me something which I'd never heard. Maybe it's because maybe I was fake and I didn't know the common things, you know, what the world is about, you know. She told me that, you know, women, we are there to be admired. Now, maybe it's true. I don't know. Is that true? I don't know. I don't know. Again, I don't know. We are there to be admired. You know. But, Jesus said he knew he was born a king. He knew why he was born. And said, "For this cause I was born." Okay? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. "Then I say, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me." Having come to be admired. Hallelujah. "To do your will, O God." Amen? Find out the will of God for your life and do it. Find out what your role is in the body of Christ and do it. Hallelujah. All right? Psalm 139, verse 16. The psalmist says, he's speaking to God saying, "Your eyes saw my substance being unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me." All right? The days of fashion for him. Okay? He had a role to play. He recognized that he was supposed to do, his days are all written in a certain book. Okay? So pray to God to reveal to you the things that are in that book, the things written of you. Jesus said in the volume of the book. By the way, he didn't say in the Bible or in the Old Testament scriptures. He didn't say that. There are books in heaven written about us. And Jesus knew it is written of him in that book. And there's also a book for you. Okay? There's some of you who know years ago, Elvis went to heaven, okay? And then, he was shown a book, And in the book, it was written of him, prophet to the nations. There are books in heaven, Now, God didn't have to show you the book. He didn't have to take you to heaven, or to show you the book. But you can discover in a witness, you understand, what you're supposed to do, and do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. As we finish, let's open page 32. Are you getting blessed or you're getting annoyed? Some people are supposed to get annoyed, to be annoyed by some sermons. Okay. Page 32, paragraph 7. It's an ego speaking. the prophet. He says, we are here because you need us. The eagle replied, we are also here because we need you. Glory be to God. Now, I remember the kind of story. You see, we are here because what? You need us. Then the eagle also said, we are also here because we need you. Okay? But let me first read this and then I tell you a kind of story. I hope God won't get annoyed. He said, you have been given gifts I do not have. And I have been given gifts you do not have. You have experienced things I have not experienced. And I've experienced things you have not. The eagles have been given to you until the end. And you have been given to us. I will be very close to you for a time. And then you must receive other eagles in my place. Every eagle is different. It is together, not individually, that we have been given to know the secrets of the Lord. It is what? Together, not individually, that we have been given to know the secrets of God. We need each other. Okay? The ego says, we are here. Eh? This ego, remember, the ego is a prophet. Eh? The prophet comes and tells, now, most prophets operate like they are the only ones who are needed. Eh? That they don't need other people. Eh? Now, that's arrogance. That's pride. Eh? This ego, the prophet say, we are here because you need us. So if a prophet tells you that you guys, you need me. You know, eh? It's true you need what? That's why God anyway, sent the prophet or the prophetess or the pastor. Okay, it is very possible that all of you here need me. That's why God brought you to LAT. Huh? Don't you think so? I'm not being arrogant. Okay, however, now I also have to acknowledge that, man, I also need you. Yeah, I know more scriptures, more Hagin stories, more Rick Joyner, more robust. You understand? Eh? However, I can't be stupid to start operating like what? I don't need you. You understand? We need each other. Eh? Okay? Okay? I remember, this is the story. I was in senior six VAC. Okay? So, results had come out. I'd batted. Eh? Okay? I was going to med school, you know. The selections, they're not called selection, admissions. And so I'd seen my name. Anyway, I'd been admitted. Miss Matt was awesome. That period was wonderful. People ask you so if you finish. So I just said, medicine. You know, So I went with my dad during that time for some function, some traditional stuff. My dad liked what? Those things, tribal stuff. So anyway, I go with him, and I think that was the first time I put on a kanzu. The guy, I had to put on a kanzu. It was like, man, that was horror. That was, tormenting. In a kanzu, man. Look, my, So now I was thinking, I was like, I hope I don't meet smart guys. There's no smart guy at that function. Because they can't. And then thank God we go and there's no smart guy. Like no one to now start. You understand? But you look back and you're like, what was wrong with the cars? Anyway, that was that stage of development. So while we're there, there's a reverend who had come to meet, rather, who had come for the function also. And then, and he knew my dad. They knew each other. So my dad's like, hey, Reverend, what's my, I don't remember what his name was. Hey, this is my son. Meet my son. So the guy asked me, so what are you doing? So I told him, I finished a senior citizen. So are you going to university? I tell the guy, yeah. And my dad is there just, like all the answers, like, yeah. That's what I wanted you to hear, like the Reverend. Yeah, my son, uni, you know. So, then the Reverend say, okay, oh, you're going to university. Then the guy now started assuring me. Now told me, now be careful. University, you know, there's no HIV AIDS. Told me, be careful. You know, now I guess at that point, my dad is like, thank God. There's someone to tell my son maybe what I couldn't understand. So this guy starts assuring me, be careful, university, you know this world now, Uganda, HIV, AIDS. Then the guy, reverend, he assured me in front of my dad. He said, now, you see your body, you know, it needs girls. And also the girls, they also need you. And he assured me their mind. I'll never forget that story. He said, you see, you need them and they also need you. They said, but be careful. Glory be to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 16. Hallelujah. That reverend guy. But I think that's how people should talk. Just throw it there and man. These things of just ducking and what. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 16. Remember, it is not individually, okay, but together, that we have been given to know the secrets of the Lord. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 16 says, for who has known the mind of Christ that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What did he say? We have, you know, plural. Okay? So you have a certain bit of the mind of Christ. Rachel has a bit. Alan has a bit. So together, you have the mind of Christ. So you need each other. Different members of the body need each other. Okay? However big what you know is, you know, if you know 80%, man, you need the other 20%. So you can't start operating like, I know most, I have the most revelations. You understand? No one is greater, Yes, no one is greater than you. However, the other 20% you don't know, might mess you up. And humble yourself and receive Rachel, you know, who is low in rank than you, and receive the 20. All right? Okay? Okay? 1 Corinthians, we have seen that one now. Go to chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 9, which you know. It says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. We know in part. All right? It is together, not individually, that we have been given to know the secrets of the Lord. All right? We need each other. And make sure you're doing your bit. If you're supposed to know 20%, get to know it. Okay? So that when someone comes with the 80 and you want to add the 20, you have it. But if you're not doing your bit, you're going to mess up the other people who have done their bits. Alright? It's together, not individually. Alright? Alright? Romans chapter 12, verse 3 and 8, Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 8. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Okay? Use them. First discover them and then use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. All right? Last scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 4 to 7. There are diversities of gifts by the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries by the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Okay? Then say, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Eh? Make sure you're profiting other people. Don't be useless. Eh? But I'm not talking to you. Eh? I'm talking to those who listen to this sermon one day when I become famous and people now start to look for my sermon. Right now, there's no one who's looking for my sermon. Okay? Then I become a famous man. People will start to go, you know. Eh? Hallelujah. So I will have done my part in the body of Christ. Eh? Okay? Verse 12 of the same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Glory be to God. Discerning the body of Christ. Eh? Get to know your role, okay? And acknowledge the role other people play, and together, eh? We shall win. Eh? Hallelujah. We shall do what? We shall win. Eh? Okay? Let these things don't just stop here, by the way. Bible study away there. Take these things seriously. Eh? Go and start. Eh? Ask God, man, show me. Eh? Okay? And for some of you, God won't. He won't show you. Because he already showed you. Okay? He might just visit you in hospital. Glory be to God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for these, your children. They discern your body. They find out the role they have to play, and they do it heartily as unto you. And, Father, you bless them for that. For blessings abound a faithful man. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.